loving cup, a loving cup.
We accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
We accept her, we accept her.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
One of us, one of us.
Gooba gobble.
They're going to make you one of them. My peacock.
Welcome to FW Presents, the anthology show for the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly, and joining me to talk about another issue of First Issue Special, one of our favorite series here on the network, is my pal Max Romero. Hi, Max.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Very good. Not very good. That's terrible grammar. Anyway, if you're listening to this the day the episode drops, this weekend is the weekend that Avengers Infinity War is out in theaters. So I'm sure all of us at the network and all of you listening are out seeing the movie. So, of course, when one of the biggest movies of the year, probably the single biggest movie of the year, is coming out, what do we choose to talk about? The Outsiders. And not even Batman and the Outsiders, the other Outsiders, which first appeared and basically only appeared in First Issue Special number 10, which went on sale October 23rd, 1975. But before we get to that, we have to thank our sponsor. This episode of FW Presents is sponsored in part by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades is your best online source for trades, hardcovers, and other collected editions, all for up to 45% off with free shipping for orders of $50 or more. Max, what do you got?
I have Dan Brereton's Nocturnals Black Planet trade paperback, which is I'm personally a big fan of Dan Brereton.
Oh, yeah.
I really love his artwork, his style. And Nocturnals is his own creator-owned characters and his own stories. And his artwork is really just made for this, and it's really beautiful. And it's basically a horror-based sort of sci-fi book. It's just really great, and I love it. And Nocturnals. Black Planet is on sale at InStock Trades right now. Usual price is $24.95. It's 80% off.
Wow.
For what is 208 pages, and they're letting it go for $4.99.
What a deal. $4.99.
Yeah, it's a great book. Well worth it. I'm surprised how low they're selling it for. So
yeah,
if you have any love for the Universal Horror kind of monsters or Dan Brereton, it's a steal.
Yeah, Dan Burden's a great artist. I have an Aquaman original painting by him.
Do you really?
Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic artist. Good pick. Very cool. My pick is Superman Mon-El, trade paperback, volume 2, Man of Valor. With the Man of Steel on New Krypton, Mon-El battles Bizarro and General Lane in stories from Superman 692 through 697, Superman Annual 14, Superman Secret Files 2009 number 1, and Adventure number 11, written by James Robinson. Artists are Fernando Dagnino, Bernard Chang, Javier Pina, and others. Normal price is $17.99. In-stock trades price is $10.43. That is 42% off. Now, many of you may be wondering, why did I pick a Superman trade paperback by Man of Valor, Mon-El? Like, clearly, I don't read this. I haven't read these. Why am I doing this? Well, it's because Superman number 692, which is reprinted in this book, features the only other appearance of the Outsiders ever in a DC comic book. They appear in one panel, which is something I did not know about. Max had to turn me on to it. So we will post the panel on our website, fireandwaterpodcast.com, at the gallery post. But it is James Robinson clearly loves the obscure corners of the DC universe, because who else would think to put the Outsiders in a panel in a Superman comic? So for these and all your other trade paperback needs, visit InStockTrades.com, and we thank them for their support. So, yes, we're here to talk about First Issue Special, number 10, The Outsiders. Now, this is First Issue Special is a series that Shag and I sort of started getting into in terms of, like, going through all the issues. I don't even remember how we really got started. Shag was the first one to do it. He did an episode of Fire and Water on the Dr. Fate issue, First Issue Special number 9. And then I just sort of took the ball and ran with it. And if you look in the show notes for this episode, you'll see the links to all the other episodes we've done on First Issue Specials. There was, we did Metamorpho by Rona Fraiden, which is great. Lady Cop, the classic Lady Cop. Creeper, I did that one with Dr. Ange. We did Starman, the one-off version of Starman. I did one on Codename Assassin. First Issue Special seemed to be really committed to the most uncommercial properties imaginable. Warlord accepted.
I don't know what you mean, Rob. What do you mean?
Okay, yeah, Warlord accepted. Of all the concepts, though, I would say this one is the most uncommercial. It is by, the story is called Us, We're the Outsiders by Joe Simon, Jerry Grandinetti, and Craig Flessel with a cover by Ernie Chan. Before we get into the story, Max, look, why did you volunteer to talk about this one?
Exactly because it is so weird and so obscure and just so... You know, we were talking before we started recording, and it was like, who thought that this would actually work as any kind of idea? And you know, when I was doing some research on it, I was actually asking myself, is it that Joe Simon? And it is. This is
Captain co-creator. America, Joe Simon.
Yeah, Captain America. Captain America's Joe Simon, and he created, you know, The Outsiders. And I just, that to me is so comic books. That I love it. I love it. It's, you know, the issue itself is something else.
Yes, it is.
But I just love that something like this can exist.
Kirby gets all the credit kind of for like coming up with these weird ideas, and he'd had some. I mean, there's Atlas is in this mm-hmm. run for issue special, the Dingbats of Danger Street, which would give the Outsiders the run for their money in terms of giving something the audience did not want in 1975. But Joe Simon had his weird ideas. I mean, you know, he also came up with the Green Team and Prez.
Right.
He was Sandman. Him and Kirby did that Sandman thing, which was completely bizarre. So he had a lot of weird ideas himself. The cover, I want to talk about the cover by Ernie Chan, who of course did a lot of DC covers. Do you agree with me? It gets pretty clear by the silhouettes, because there's a guy coming through a doorway, and he says, no, you can't come out. The world's not ready for you yet. And there are silhouettes of presumably the Outsiders, except they do not match the characters at all.
I'm guessing Ernie Chan
had no idea what he was supposed to be drawing.
I would think so. I mean, the only thing that comes close is the Doctor, who I guess is supposed to be Dr. Goody.
I guess
right?
So.
Doctor who becomes Dr. Scary. We'll talk about that in a second. But at the same time, he's kind of just, you know, he could be any doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that anyone would draw a handsome blonde doctor on a comic book cover. So, yeah, but the silhouettes do not match at all.
No.
And, you know, even after reading it, I'm not sure exactly what I read.
You pay 25 cents, you take your chances, kid. So, Max, are you ready for the Outsiders?
Oh, my God. Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to take that as a yeah. Whatever you said, I was going to go ahead anyway. So, it didn't really matter. So anyway, this story is called, as I said, Us, We're the Outsiders. It opens with a strange bunch of characters watching TV. There's a report of a freak on the loose terrorizing the town of Linville. With that, the grotesque gang, Larry, Johnny, Ronnie, Mary, and Doc, jump into a cart and take off for the lab. The gang arrives to see a mob beating up on a young boy named Billy, who has a giant malformed head. Singing their own theme song, the groups, self-named the Outsiders, bust in to save him. One-eyed Ronnie has multiple arms and uses them to grab some of the mob. Hairy Larry, who seems fused with the small cart everyone is riding in, smashes into some of the others, knocking weapons out of their hands. Mary's model looks distract some others until they realize they are in the grips of her orange, scaly, flippered arms. Finally, Lizard Johnny is pretty much what he sounds like. One of the mobsters hacks Johnny's arm off with an axe, but that doesn't even kill him, and Doc assures the rest of the team that it will grow back. The mob dispersed, Hairy Larry surmises that our readers are probably wondering who they are. We then have a series of flashbacks where we're introduced to each of the characters. First is Johnny, a human-lizard hybrid rescued from being killed. Billy is a simple-minded but kind boy who lived below his elderly father's tailor shop, who is discovered by some crooks who try and rob the place. Dr. Goody was a surgeon and astronaut, because of course, who was severely injured when his ship crashed on a nearby planet. His life was saved by the beings that lived there, who attached cybernetics to him and remade his face in their own ghastly image. A few months later, we see the doctor again, but he is handsome and catches the eye of his female patients and nurses. After brushing off yet another romantic overture, Dr. Goody heads down into the secret base below the hospital. Opening a secret passageway, Dr. Goody pulls off his mask, revealing his true face, and reuniting his friends, which now includes the recently rescued Billy. The story opens where it began, with the outsider seeing the report on TV about another freak under assault from an uncaring and violent society. The end. What the holy hell is this comic?
Oh, you know, I think... I don't know what my favorite part is. The breaking the fourth wall. right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning. Our readers want to know who we are. Okay.
I know. Or the fact that these, you know, and they look monstrous. I mean, they don't look like, oh, he's, you know, he's a regular guy with scales. No, they look monstrous. But they all have these very normal names.
Right.
Johnny and Larry and Mary. I don't even know where to start. It's, you know, I mean, then I assume if this had gone on, they would have kind of talked about how they got together and why they decide to, do they fight crime? I don't even know what they do.
I get the sense that they're keeping the world safe for people like themselves. Because as we see, the mob is beating up Billy. And Billy is not,
right. He's
monstrous looking, but he's not violent. Like, he's just, he doesn't even have any dialogue. He's just kind of like this weird looking kid, and the mob is beating him up because he just looks weird. And so
right. They're
kind of, I think presumably they would fight crime, as you said, if the series had gone on. But from this beginning, it seems like they're more just like, they want to just protect the freaks that are out there. And of course, there's an editorial in this comic where they talk about Todd Browning's Freaks, the 1932 movie that clearly Joe Simon was inspired by.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's pretty obvious. And also, it's kind of got a weird X-Men vibe to it for me. You know, where they're, because, you know, it was kind of the same thing with the X-Men, where they were outcast from society and all this stuff. But in that editorial you mentioned, he actually says, we all want to be different, but how different do we really want to be? And that's an interesting point, because with X-Men, for the most part, they're mutants, but they still look human.
Right.
For the most part. None of these people look, they're human-ish. They're humanoids, but they're not going to be able to walk into the Woolworths without any problem. And even Mary, you know, like you said, she's beautiful from the neck up, but her body itself is this big orange scaly alien looking body, and I think she breaks someone's back at some point,
yeah,
doesn't she?
Her skin looks like Aquaman's tunic. You know, it's orange,
yes,
and it's got those scales on it. So that's what, yeah. I mean, the whole bit is that she's beautiful, as you said, from the neck up, so she can distract somebody for a moment while they're like, wow, look at this. And then she grabs them with her flipper hands, and they're,
You know, and it was kind of interesting that it's, there's not a whole lot of story in this comic. It's you know, like these little vignettes that you mentioned.
Pages, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the vignettes themselves are what, maybe one or two pages each,
mm-hmm,
I guess. But they're pretty interesting. And I mean, I actually really liked the doctor's story. I thought that was an interesting story. I don't know what story did you of the stories that they give us. Which one do you like the most?
Oh man, I guess you said it's hard to pick. I mean, Dr. Goody definitely gets the most quote unquote screen time, panel time,
right?
And I mean, it's a really involved origin. It's interesting that his face, his design of what his face is malformed by the aliens. He looks exactly like that one episode of The Twilight Zone.
Where I was going to say that, yeah.
People get the face, and then we see that the beautiful woman, who everyone calls a freak, we realize is actually, by our standards, beautiful. And in the world that she lives in, everybody that is quote-unquote normal looks freakish to us. And so his face looks just like that. But it's an interesting idea that he's an astronaut. He crashes on a planet, and the aliens are like, boy, this guy's hideous looking because he's all damaged. So let's make him look like presumably what we look like. But then they add the cybernetic part. You're like,
right. What
the hell? And then we see that through a cutaway that he's got the outsider's base under the hospital, which is like, that's totally out of like G.I. Joe. I mean, they have like the Outsider's car, the Outsider's car. Like, you're expecting like the, like Amigos, the Outsider's playset, you know? You're like, what the hell?
Man.
Like, can you imagine? It's so, I mean, I like them all. I like the thing with Billy that he lives under. First of all, it's kind of cruel that he lives like under the floorboards in his own father's thing. But his dad like cares for him. Like, his dad isn't cruel to him. His dad just probably doesn't know what to do with this weird kid. And the only reason he gets discovered is because the mobsters break in. I mean, it really is. This thing moves like lightning on top of it. I mean, it's, as you mentioned, it's only, it's so brief. But I mean, before you have a chance to even like take in all the weird ideas, it's moving on to the next thing. It's just like,
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I guess that's what it is that there are germs of good ideas in here. But when you throw them all together, it doesn't, they're not worse ideas. They're just so weird that you're, it's curious how they're supposed to click.
Yeah. Normally you have to have, I guess the idea of Dr. Goody would have the mask on most of the time. And as you said, like, he would be clearly the Professor X of this group. And so he could look quote unquote normal because they figure that somebody has to look normal on this team. And they don't, because you got the guy with the one eye and you've got the guy who's like,
and the forearms.
And the forearms, and the other guy who's like fused to his cart, and there's like, everybody is really weird looking. So presumably Dr. Goody, I'm guessing that if the series had gone on, Dr. Goody would have been the character we see the most development from. It would have been like, you know, he would have been the one that would have gotten all the character development and maybe like a romance, because just presumably is going to be, I mean, mostly the characters, I mean, so Billy is mute. The others are not. They have dialogue, but they're, I don't know, we just don't get a sense of really who they are very much. Because, again, part of it is this goes by so fast.
Yeah. Well, and Billy isn't mute. He can talk. He just doesn't talk. Most of what he says is, I'm Billy.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot that. Yeah, I see it right here. Actually, there's another panel where he says, Daddy, what have you done to my daddy? But that's really all he says. I mean, he's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He's not mute. I'm wrong about that.
But he's very childlike, which is in a way weirder. You know, it's even creepier.
Right, and, you're like, is he a child? He looks like a child, maybe? I don't...
Yeah, he can walk around on his own, obviously, but he has the face of a child with this huge head. Do you remember that animation on MTV during Liquid Television called The Head?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, you have to look that up. Oh, but anyway, there's this guy who is called The Head because he has this huge head, and that's what he reminds me of.
Wow, okay.
Because it's very much like that.
I love in the last panel, they all have like branded super suits on. Even Billy has his little with a little O on it. It's great.
Oh man, yeah. No, it's weird. And you know, talking about Dr. Goody, he's like the Professor X in that kind of example. But he also kind of reminds me of Doc Magnus from the Metal Men. Because like you said, you know, he's got this secret headquarters somehow that he had built 20 floors, I think. 20 floors below the hospital?
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, what kind of hospital is that? Do they have the money to front them for that?
It's a pretty sweet base when we see it. It's nicer than Justice League Detroit ever had. It's a pretty good headquarters.
Yeah, you know, so it's... I have a lot of questions, Rob. I have a lot of questions.
I also love in the fourth story, the strange things down below the medical center. And we have the first panel, which is the strangest-looking hospital you've ever seen. It's, like, built on stilts with these weird cubicle things. I don't know what that's about. So then you have the second panel, and he's talking to the nurse, and then the middle – the patient. And then the middle panel, he says, many patients think they're in love with their surgeons, Miss Robbins. You'll recover. And we see the nurse come into the frame. And in the background, we see the patient, and she's fuming. And she's got a cartoon heart fluttering over her head.
Yeah.
What the holy hell is happening here?
Well, and the nurse herself says, Doctor, I'm jealous. Jealous of any woman who even looks at you.
Yeah. What the?
You know, it's, yeah, I mean.
It's very unprofessional.
You know, Doc Goody, you know, as long as he keeps that mask on, he's doing okay.
He's got it going on. What did you think of the artwork by Jerry Granzinetti and Craig Flessel?
You know, it was fine. It wasn't, what's the best way to say it? You know, talking about Doc Goody and his way with women, that's kind of what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the art that you might find in a romance comic. So it's not super detailed. The line work looks very kind of familiar, I guess, like except for the outsiders themselves. People look pretty generic, I guess. But there was also obviously a lot of thought put into some of the design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, it kind of, I would be curious to know which work was done by Grandinetti and which was done by Craig Flessel,
yeah.
Because some of it looks fairly detailed and some of it doesn't. And so I'm kind of curious about, you know, who did what.
Jerry Grandinetti was one of those guys who, when I was a kid, I couldn't stand his work. I just hated it. I was like, oh, it's ugly. Mm-hmm. And now I love it. I just love it. It's so manic and so idiosyncratic. It's that I just every time I see it, I'm like, oh my God, it's great. And he did a lot of great work for Creepy and Eerie, and mm-hmm. his work, I think, was really came across in black and white, because he would do these really nightmarish stories, and to me it was perfect. And I can actually picture this running in like a Warren magazine. It's okay. Just so strange, and Warren would occasionally kind of experiment a little bit in the superhero genre ish. And I could totally see, I guess Joe Simon, I don't think ever did any work for Warren, but Grandinetti did a lot, and I think Flessel even might have, but I could totally see this in black and white running in the back pages of Eerie. This is just weird enough that I could see it.
You know, you might be onto something there. Maybe it's the coloring that's throwing me off, because, like, when you look at that first splash panel on page 2 and 3 when they're rescuing Billy.
And they're singing their own song.
And they're singing their own song that with their own names in it. The Amazing Ronnie, who is the Cyclops with the four arms, and Lizard Johnny, both kind of look like they were colored just flat. There doesn't look like there's a lot of shading going on or anything like that. But there is shading in the inks and in the pencils. And so, yeah, I wonder if you're onto something with that. I wonder if this would have been more effective, for me at least, if it was in black and white.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it is. It's colored pretty much like any other superhero comic at the time. Mm. You know, it's very basic flat cards. I do need to sing the song though. Hang in there, Billy. It's us, Lizard Johnny, the Amazing Ronnie, Harry, Larry, Old Doc Scary, and Mighty Mary. We're the outsiders. So there you go. I mean, presumably, if Marvel had done this, there would have been like a Mighty Marvel record of the outsiders or something.
Oh my God.
Could have gotten that. I love how tricked out they are, because they have like their little outsiders van and their outsiders mm-hmm. card. I mean, everybody's learned from Batman in the DC universe to brand your shit. You know, like put your big O on things. And again, as you talk about how many weird ideas are thrown in, I mean, just these characters by themselves are weird. There's that. Then you've got this thing where they realize they're in their own comic book, because they talk about the readers. That's weird enough. And then you get the extra level of the story becomes a Mobius strip where it ends where it begins. You're like, what the hell, Joe Simon?
Which is pretty impressive, really, that you get to the last panel and it basically tells you, go back to the beginning because the story is going to, you know, so you can basically, yeah, it's a loop.
Yeah.
The story, it's a song that never ends. You just get to the end and then you start over.
You will never finish this comic book. It'll just keep going over and over. It's the way it's supposed to work. I'm trying to imagine what DC thought of this. I'm guessing, again, that they did. They signed Joe Simon to a bunch of projects, and he was like, let's do this. And they were like, all right. Now, he did another first issue special, which we haven't gotten to yet, The Green Team. Now, when first issue special, I think, was relatively abruptly canceled, because there were issues of first issue special planned that never saw the light of day. So I think this series got yanked before they had really planned to. When DC released Canceled Comics Cavalcade in 1978, which were the black and those giant phone book sized black and white reprints of all the material that was supposed to see print and never did, and it was printed in these books for copyright reasons, there are two issues of The Green Team in those books, because they were done and finished. And I thought, I've never seen Canceled Comic Cavalcade. I've never seen it in my own hands, because those books are like $1,000 for a set of them or something. I wondered if there were any outsiders in there. And I looked it up, and unfortunately there is not. So this is literally the one thing. Like, they probably, as soon as this was over, they just moved on. They were like, no, this is never going to go anywhere. And then they got the sales figures and probably like, yeah, we're right. This is nothing. So there is no other outsiders material out there except for that one panel in Superman, which we mentioned. But like, I don't know. I think you could do this again. Am I crazy?
I was just about to say, if I had seen this on the stands in what, 76, I guess, is when it came out?
75.
75. Well, I was too young to have my own spending money. But if I saw this on the rack, I probably would have bought this. And after seeing them you know, make their little cameo in Superman 692. That because I had seen that cameo. Obviously, I'd seen it after. Because I mean, if you haven't read this, you're not going to know who the hell they are.
No.
But if I saw that and I saw them and I had this like just wave of affection for them, and I would not be opposed to see them at least pop up here and there in the DC universe. And I think there's something that could be done. I think they're usable.
I do too. I mean, as you say, at the very least, like a team up, like a Brave and the Bold or Batman and the Outsiders. Perfect.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. We're done. Like, we're going to write this up once we're done this episode. We're gonna write all this up. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's I admire the fact that these guys that did this, Grandinetti and Flessel and Joe Simon, these were old guys. You know, I mean, Joe Simon had been in comics for more than 30 years at this time. And Craig Flessel, he did work for DC stretching all the way back to Detective Comics #1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he went way back. Like, these were old guys, but doing really weird stuff. And I kind of appreciate that. Like, I mean, Joe Simon, if he had wanted to, could have just been like, Captain America worked. How about, Major Liberty? You know, how about that? You know? But instead, he was doing these weird-ass things. I kind of appreciate it. And I appreciate that DC was willing to donate a month of first issue special to it. I admire that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of wish DC, and I wish comics in general would do that more often, because, yeah, maybe they're going to be like this, and they're not going to go anywhere. You know, I think there's room to stretch. I think there's room to try out these weird ideas and just, you know, see what sticks once in a while.
Yeah.
I know monetarily they're never going to do that.
No.
But at one point they did. At one point they could. And why not?
You never know what's going to hit.
I mean, Marvel used to do their Assistant Editors Month.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You know, why couldn't you do something like this once a year for DC?
And, you know, I mean, First Issue Special did give us Warlord, which, you know, became a giant hit and went on to make money for DC and Mike Grell for years. I mean, they still use Warlord today, and there's a whole great podcast about it from the Sutherlands. I mean, so, you know, I mean, the First Issue Special's batting average was not great, but I think there are concepts here. Again, Lady Cop, everybody knows how much I love Lady Cop. But, I mean, I really think you could dust some of these things off and try them again. And I don't know. I think maybe audiences would be more tolerant of this kind of weird idea. I mean, this thing certainly, it has a real energy. And I love its humanity, you know, because it's all about saving people that are being picked on by the mob, which I really like. I mean, the whole bit about the first character, Johnny, he's this sentient lizard, and the whole reason he survives is because Dr. Goody takes pity on him because they just want to hack him up. They're like, oh my god, this thing's a the other doctor, he's literally going to hack it up with an axe.
Yeah,
because he's like he's like, it's the merciful thing to do. And Dr. Goody's like, no. And you're like, there's a shot where you see the thing on a table and it's like mewling like a baby.
Yeah,
like, oh my god, like, this thing, he's going to hack this thing up just because it looks weird. And Dr. Goody finds that to be inhumane, and he's right. Like, I love the humanity of this concept.
Right. Yeah, and that's because they fish him. He's literally fished out of the ocean and brought to, you know, I guess this hospital. And there's an image there, and, you know, and I know I sounded like I was kind of down on the artwork, but there are some great panels in here. I love the way Doc Scary looks. I love his design.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby Larry, I guess that is, right?
Yep.
No, Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny. I can't keep these names straight. He looks like he is just a baby, just crying and crying. You know, and that really comes across. And yeah, the other doctor is like, oh, you have to see this. But then he picks up that axe or whatever it is, saying, oh, it's like you said, it's the merciful thing to do. But Goody stops him and runs away with the baby lizard Johnny. You know, which now I have another question. If that's the case, was he already taking care of Johnny before he went into space?
I'm going to assume that yes. I'm going to bet that he was. That, like, he's already now, he's become a freak himself, and so now he's out looking for other freaks. Because I'm going to bet that when the thing with the astro, when he comes back from the foreign planet, the alien planet, that's when he builds the base, because he then has like a mission to find freaks and he's out there and helping people. That's how I take it. I mean, we'll never know, obviously, but because it says that the third story, Dr. Goody says, let us go back to the year 1970. So it takes that sequence takes place 5 years before this, presumably. So I'm going to guess that's the bit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, that's the thing for a story that's easy to kind of laugh off. there's you know, you start peeling away at it. There's things out there that I want to know. I would really like to, you know, I don't know if I would want hundreds of issues of these outsiders.
Yeah, I don't think probably not.
But you know, maybe a miniseries just to tell me what's going on. I'd be up with that.
I think they would have been like a great backup feature, you know, like in a weird war tale. Not maybe not weird war tales, but like a House of Mystery, like that kind of thing, where it's like maybe 8 or 9 pages at a time, you know, not a whole thing.
Right.
As you said, not a whole, you know, no, we don't need a maxi series featuring the outsiders. But I don't know. I mean, I again, as you said, it's easy to laugh at this, but I don't know. I just, like, to me, it's kind of sweet in its own way, and it's it has sympathy for people that look really horrendous, like we would consider monsters. And, you know, I mean, again, it might just be that the reason part of this didn't work, part of it, I guess, the artwork. I think the artwork is just so grotesque in a good way in my mind, but I think to most people's eye, it was like, oh, my God, what the hell? Give me Batman. I don't want to look at this. But I just think that this thing has just premise overload and that you've got all these weird characters, plus they realize they're breaking the fourth wall, plus the comic book doubles back on itself. Like, it's just too many things. You want to be like, Joe, slow down. Let's just have just the outsiders. How about that? How about we just have a traditional storytelling format with these weird characters before we start getting into doubling back on itself and them talking to the camera? Like, how about that? But I get this, you know, they were just like, all right, fine. Just do whatever you want, Joe.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you know, there are concepts here that were, you know, solid concepts. I mean, within the first issue special run, because, you know, not only did the outsiders make a cameo in, which they didn't really contribute much, but they were there, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
Codename Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Was a big part of the Superman storyline for a while there, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who else came up? The Green Team had their own series for a little bit, a couple of years ago.
And James Robinson worked in this version of Starman into the Starman book.
Right. You know, so there's stuff there. You know, this first issue series, I mean, it was, it took a while, but I think there are concepts there that are still worth reusing.
Mm-hmm. Hell, Lady Cop appeared on Arrow, the Arrow TV series.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, there's still stuff to be mine. I mean, you know, DC still owns all these things. I would love it. And you know what? We here at the network, we have a good track record for mentioning something we'd like to see and then it happens. So I'm going to go out and say, let's get a first issue special collection, like a trade of all 13 issues.
Put them all together. That.
I think that would be really cool. You get to see, because these things are only, except for Warlord, which has been reprinted. I don't think, and maybe the Dr. Fate was reprinted in a digest, and maybe I think it's in one of the Dr. Fate reprint collections. But for the most part, all these things have never appeared again. You have to buy them as back issues. Like, I would love to see this. Yeah. I mean, clearly James Robinson is a fan of the series.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, and there's, you know, like you said, there's great stuff. I mean, thanks to our own Professor Zoom, you know, I drank out of a Lady Cup mug this morning.
That's right. And I have it staring at me as I'm sitting here. So
yeah. So you know, I think if you reintroduce this to readers today, you know, people who have never heard of the Dingbats of Danger Street, I don't think people can help but have some affection for this stuff, because, like you said, it's just kind of pure. You know, it's pure comics.
Yeah. Let's try this. See if this works. Let's try this. Dingbats of Danger Street. All right, go ahead. Let's do it. Lady Cop. Sure, let's do it. You know, like, why not? I love all that. I'm looking at the covers here. I have it up on Mike's Amazing World, and it's like, it's the covers are so fun, and it's so neat that, like, it interchanges between new characters and old characters. Like, oh, let's bring the Creeper back. That didn't work. Let's try this new thing called Warlord. Okay, well, let's try Dr. Fate. Let's try the Outsiders. I mean, like, you know, I love all that. So, yeah, I can't wait till we can finish up the rest of these series. We still haven't covered Atlas or the Green Team or Manhunter or Dingbats of Danger Street or Return of the New Gods. I think none of us have talked about it. I think we're going to leave Warlord for the Sutherlands. They've really cornered the market on Mike Grell and Warlord. I don't think they like the world needs us to cover Warlord. But I definitely want to get to the rest of these because they're just they're really fun and weird. I don't think anything's going to be as weird as The Outsiders. I think we've hit the limit of the weirdness of First Issue Special, but nevertheless, there's some other fun stuff to be had.
I own all but two of these First Issue Specials. I think I'm missing... What am I missing? I think I'm missing Manhunter, and I think I might be missing The Creeper.
Okay.
But of the other 11 that I have, this is definitely the weirdest one of them all.
Really strange. Really strange. Yeah. So we will post some images on the website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com, and you can get to see some of the sheer weirdness that was The Outsiders. And like I said, I would suggest, if you ever see this in a back issue bin and you can get it for cheap, pick it up, because I think you'll just be left like gobsmacked of like, what the hell did I just read? And that's fun. I've read a lot of comics that 2 seconds after I read them, I forget. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, that just slipped off my brain. But I never forgot this. You know, as soon as I read it, I was like, whoa, this is a mind trip. So, it's The Outsiders.
It's kind of like what you asked me. It's kind of what you asked me at the beginning. You know, why did you want to talk about this? It's like, how could I not talk about this?
It's like a
comic book version of an earworm. You know, once you read it, it's always there.
They dig themselves into... I'm sure they have a character eventually they would have brought in that digs under your skin or something. That's probably something that would have involved. So, but anyway, so that is The Outsiders. That's First Issue Special, The Outsiders. Now, all the previous episodes of First Issue Special that we looked at were done as part of Fire and Water, because that's when Jack and I were still kind of letting that show be whatever we wanted to cover. But now that we have sort of focused on Aquaman and Firestorm for that show... anytime we do any future First Issue Special looks, it's going to be part of FW Presents. So, as I said, in the show notes, we're going to have links to all the episodes where we talked about a First Issue Special. So if you want to hear more, go check out those links. All the episodes are available. We have Shag did a couple. I did a couple. We have a bunch of guests. It's really cool. It's a fun thing. And I'm looking forward to doing the rest of the First Issue Special. So, Max, as we wrap up here, where can people find you on our network?
People can find me here on the network at Plasticast. And they can also find me at It's Plastic Man on Twitter and Facebook.
Very cool. And, of course, I do a bunch of shows on the network. And as I mentioned, Fire and Water Podcast with Shag, Digest Cast with Shag, Who's Who with Shag. And then I do forget. You know the rest of the shows I do. I don't have to go on and on about it. So, anyway, this was a lot of fun, Max. I'm so glad we had a chance to talk about this. Because, like, as you said, it's pure comics. And there's something so beautiful about that. So, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Oh, thank you. And like I said, I mean, this is what, a 17... page comic.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk about this comic all day. so they thank you for having me on.
Well, maybe we probably shouldn't make the audience sit through that. I think we've done 40 minutes on The Outsiders. That's probably good enough. But who knows? We'll have to maybe see what we can do with Dingbats of Danger Street or something. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And let us know if you want us to do more First Issue Specials. I don't think it matters if you do or not. We're going to do them anyway. But nevertheless, let us know in the comments at fireandwaterpodcast.com. So until the next episode of FW Presents, I don't know what's next. One of us here on the network is going to do another FW Presents. Now that you've reached the end of this episode, you should wind back to the beginning and start again.
My arms, time won't let me.